Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. In the Bible, sin literally means missing the mark. What is that mark? Simply stated, it is perfection in thought, word, deed, and motive. Needless to say, everyone has sinned, and the wages of sin is death, which is eternal separation from God. However, there's good news. We can be justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Please open your Bible to Romans 3, verse 10, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola explains the details.
This morning, I'm going to talk about a problem that everybody here in this park has, but nobody wants to talk about. It's a problem that every single person on the planet has. Whether you're saved or unsaved, regardless of what country you live in, the color of your skin, regardless of your ethnicity, whether you are rich or poor, educated or not educated, it's a problem that every person on the planet has had since Adam fell in the garden. But the vast majority of us don't know, what do you call it? It's a problem that rests in the heart of each and every human being. And the Bible calls it sin. It's the elephant in the room. I want to read from Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 26. Paul writes, Romans 3, verse 10, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." That's the verdict. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." That's God's word. You know, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, Adam blamed his wife. His wife blamed the serpent, so on and so forth. And the blame game goes on today, right? You listen to the news, the left blames the right blames the left. The Jews blame the Gentiles blame the Jews, and we are a planet that is in conflict with one another. And we do our level best to try to figure out how to solve the issues. But according to the Bible, which is the final authority, whatever we share with you, we believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God and is the final authority on any topic. The Bible says that the problem behind all of those issues is something called sin. But what exactly is sin? The Greek word for sin basically means missing the mark. Well, the next question would be, well, what is that mark? And here's the mark: sinless perfection in thought, word, deed, and motive. That is how God intended man to live when he created them. But man fell in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve chose to believe the lie of the serpent instead of the truth of God. And the consequence, and it's worldwide, It's no respecter of persons, is what the Bible calls sin. Sin just isn't a mistake. Sin just isn't a flaw of character. It's a principle that's inside you and me. It's the very source of every unjust, unholy, ungodly action on the planet. Other Bible words are transgression, which means willful disobedience or rebellion. Iniquity, which describes something that is perverse or twisted. And sin is a governing principle or power that resides in every human being. And sometimes it is referred to as the flesh, as opposed to the spirit walking in fellowship with God, the flesh walking apart from God. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Every human being born into this world is a sinner. Even those who are born into a Christian home. See, because nobody is born into this world saved. So if we were to take this word sin and put it in medical terminology, and I've said this many times before, we would say that every human being is born into this world S-I-N positive. And the consequences are terminal. Sin is insidious. It steals, it kills, destroys. And there's a lot of blaming going on around the planet over who's the cause of this, what's the cause of that. But the root problem of all the ills that take place in our lives, in families, in nations, in churches, every ill on the planet, the root cause of it is sin. Sickness, disease, death, wars, pestilences, divorce, abortion, child abuse, sex trafficking, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, pornography, racism, injustice, pride, self-righteousness. Those are all the product of sin in our heart. And it's interesting. I'm sure you've encountered this as I have. Have you ever begun to share God with people and they will inevitably bring up a question like this? If there is a God who is all powerful and all living, why is there so much suffering on the earth? You ever heard that? Oh, yeah. And the thought behind the question is that God, either directly or indirectly, is the cause of all the evil that takes place on planet earth. Because, according to them, he chooses to do nothing to stop such evil things from happening. Well, that's not true. You see, the reason for all of the ills and all of the atrocities on earth are caused by man, and the root cause is sin and the corresponding consequences of sin. The very fact that people even ask the question, why is there evil? Why is there war? Why is there pain? Why is there suffering? Why is there disease? Why is there drug addiction? Why is there death? The very reason why they are questioning is an indication, unbeknownst to them, that deep inside they know this isn't the way it's supposed to be. You see, they know that it's not the way it's supposed to be, but they, you and I, don't realize we are the problem, not God. There was a time when the Pharisees and the scribes saw the disciples of Jesus eating food without first ceremonially washing their hands. And they said that they are defiling themselves. And Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark, "Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing comes from without enters into a man, that cannot defile him? Because it just goes into the belly and you flush it. But that which comes out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of man." And when I say that, I'm thinking first and foremost of myself. And I want you to think of it too. The only questionable passage in all of Scripture was when the Apostle Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. That's because he didn't know me. Listen what's in the heart of man. Evil thoughts. Ever had evil thoughts? Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. We live on a defiled planet. And Christ came to deliver us from this present evil world. Sin in the heart of man is defiling, and it's manifested by all the sinful acts that you and I can ever think of. The Apostle Paul spoke of the last days, and in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, perilous times will come, difficult times, trying times, hard times. Notice what he puts at the top of the list. For men will be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. Notice now, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, so we're not talking about atheists, having a form of godliness, so they are religious or spiritual, but they deny the power thereof. What's the power that they are denying? The power that they are denying is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the power to save. Sin, my sin, your sin, if it's sin of omission or sin of commission, separates man from fellowship with God. You see, the Bible is a book that tells us that fallen man can have a personal relationship with the living God. It's not religion. It's a relationship. But sin separates man from God. And the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. The bad news is that we can do nothing about it. The good news is that Christ has. Did you ever go into a doctor's office, or maybe you're a financial planner? They have a big smile on their face. They say, well, I've got bad news and I've got good news. What do you want to hear? I usually tell me the bad news first, and I want to leave with the good news. Well, the bad news is us. If every one of us had a mirror, I wouldn't say put it up to your face, put it up to your heart. You see, the refusal to acknowledge that we are sinners by nature and choice is the height of self-deception. David, King David, was called the man after God's own heart, but he fell short of the glory of God. Every person in the Bible that God used in remarkable and powerful ways fell short of the glory of God. Well, if you turn to Psalm 32, there was a time when David tried to cover up his sin of adultery with Bathsheba. But he tells us that his attempts to cover up his sin only made him feel more miserable, condemned, and guilty. And that process of time went on for, some say, maybe a year and a half. And if you and I seek to cover up our sin, there will be guilt. There's misery. There's condemnation. The Apostle John, if there's any question in your heart or in my heart that what I've said so far isn't sufficient evidence to prove that we are sinners, he says in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we do not have this sin principle, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. 1 John 1:10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You see, beloved, there is no relief from the guilt, the pain, the shame, and the condemning power of sin as long as we refuse to admit it and confess it. What does confession mean? Confession means to agree with God. It's wise to agree with God. It's unwise to disagree with God. And there is only one answer to the sin problem in me, in you, and in the world, and that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the answer for the problem of sin is not medical. The answer for the problem of sin is not political. The answer for the problem of sin is not educational. The answer for the problem of sin is not financial. The answer for the problem of sin is not religion. The answer is a person. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. I heard a phrase at a Calvary conference years ago. Life is short, death is sure, sin the cause, Christ the cure. So let's enter into the great physician's office. And he is going to tell you and I what the my chart of my heart reads. In fact, we read about it in Romans chapter 3. It's the human condition. And it's a good thing that you are sitting down. And if I didn't need to stand up, I would sit down with you. You see, because any attempt to wiggle out of that diagnosis is indication that I've already given in to the lie of the enemy, because the God of this world blinds sinners' hearts and minds from believing in Jesus Christ. The devil doesn't want a single human being to be saved. The devil doesn't want a single human being to have their sins forgiven. The diagnosis that we read this morning in Romans 3 blows out of the water the humanist manifesto that you and I are basically good. Compared to who? We're all under sin. Under sin means that each and every one of us here this morning were born held down by sin's debt and subject to sin's power. We, every human being on the planet, has been born in the image of God. And since the fall, we are corrupted by the power of sin. You've probably heard people say to you, but I'm a good person. How many of you have heard that? I try my best. I keep the Ten Commandments. Well, we're not morally good by nature. We're morally bad. Mark 10:17. And when Jesus was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why do you call me good? There is none good but one. There is God. In Luke 11:13, Jesus said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more the Father? When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he says that we are by nature children of wrath. That's the diagnosis of our condition. And beloved, it's a diagnosis that is worse than a doctor saying the tumor is malignant. The tumor is terminal. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Sin is not pretty. Sin is not fun. Despise what the fallen world system says. Quoting from Psalm 14, Paul says that there is none righteous, no, not one. That's why Jesus himself said in Matthew 9:13, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, there's a lot of people who believe that they are righteous, but Jesus says there are none righteous, no, not one. He says that there is none that understands. There is none that seek God. They all go after their own way. There is none that does good. No, not one. Listen to Psalm 39:5. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Isaiah 64:6. But we all are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquity, like the wind, have taken us away. Now, I don't know about anybody here this morning, but right now, I'm not feeling that confident about the thought of me standing before a holy God, apart from faith in Jesus Christ, and trying to convince him what a good person I am, when he's already declared to me, I'm not good. How many of you have ever been hurt by words? How many of you have hurt other people with words? 100%. The Bible says our throat is an open sepulcher. In the Greek, it means a yawning grave. James 3 says, tongues set on fire by hell itself, filled with poison, gossip, slander, backbiting. It's been called by many theologians, James chapter 3, hell's Pentecost. Mouth full of cursing and bitterness. Somebody accidentally hits their thumb with a hammer, and they damn God or curse Christ. Those are all evidences of sin resting in our heart, feet swift to shed blood. Cannot help but think of the millions of babies that are being aborted on this planet just in this hour. We're a planet that is filled with innocent blood for many other reasons. Destruction and misery are in our ways. The way of peace they have not known. And here's why. There's no fear of God. No fear of God. Fallen man's deadly corruption affects every area of our life, our speech, our actions, our perspective. No fear of God. But there are those who insisted, if I just keep the commandments of God, then I will be right with God. Have any of you ever been told by somebody that they keep the Ten Commandments? Any of you? I've had people say, well, I keep the commandments. Really? Well, the Bible says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. You see, there is no hope of earning acceptance with God by trying to keep God's law, because what the law does do, when it's correctly understood, is expose our sin is in a mirror. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Keeping the Ten Commandments, listen to what James says in chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, you should not kill. No, if you do not commit adultery, but if you kill, you are become a transgressor of the law. You see, the commandments are so interconnected, proceeding from the one God who commands all, breaking one commandment is tantamount to breaking them all. That's the problem. Now, here's the solution. Okay? That was the bad news. Here's the good news. But now, what does now mean? Now? Now? But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is manifested, witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference whether you're Jewish or Gentile, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified or made upright and in right standing with God freely by his grace. That's God's unmerited favor and mercy through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but if I were sitting down, that would make me want to jump up and say, praise God and hallelujah. You see, there is something so precious about the character of God here. The one who gave us the diagnosis of who we are, the one who knows us best, loves us most. Isn't that incredible? The one who has poured out his love and his grace upon us to provide the eternal cure for the debt of sin from the dominion of sin, and one day soon and very soon in a new heaven and new earth where there will be no such thing as sin. Bless the Lord, oh my
soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.